lot about ATSC 3.0. There is it's not a new topic. We've been talking about it for years now. But the reality is taking up slower than the expectation, and that's just the normal curve. So here I just want to tell you about how IOAPB has did its transition, and what was the motivation for that transition, and what they expect from this transition. So the reality behind it is that they had to change some of their exciters, some of their transmitters, some of their encoders were end of life, end of support. So of course they have some spare in their storage room, but it's not very ready for enhancement. So the first goal and the first reason was to be resilient now. So they changed their transmitters, they updated up to 9 full power sites, they changed their encoders, they enhanced their monitoring system. Now they have quality of experience. So what we call quality of experience is the quality of the image, of the sound, if you have like silent audio, your freezes, your screen is freezing or a black screen. So that's quality of experience, and quality of signal is just the quality of the delivery path. So is your RF correct? Is your ASI okay? Is your transport stream according to what you expect? And of course, building up redundancy in order to be able to tackle any challenge if something goes down. But the idea was not just to make their actual system better, but also to be able to see what's going to be the next generation of things. And they didn't want to buy a set of equipment for ATSC 1.0 and another set for 3.0, because as you know, it's not backward compatible for the receivers, but for the transmission, we've designed solutions that are ATSC 1.0 and ATSC 3.0 without having to change neither the hardware nor the architecture. So whenever they want, they can just flip a switch and start to do their testing in 3.0 first, and maybe transition one tower site, and then a second, and then a third, and then just grow organically with that 3.0 transition. Now they are ready for that, and they can do it as they want. All right. So to give you an example of the workflow, this is just for the encoding part. So they get their 4 SDI sources, and it's delivered to a Titan Live, which is the same that does ATSC 3.0 output, so dash segment or MMT segment. And this, in case of ATSC 1, is using a transport stream to their multiplexer, and then the multiplexer goes and deliver ATSC 1.0. So with one solution, they have both standard capabilities. Then you can see here, it's an example of redundancy where they have another software called the Pilot Manager that will be able to carry on the configuration from the main to the backup in case of an emergency or a failure. To summarize the workflow for the ATSC 1, so you have the SDI feeds coming in, then the SPTS coming out of the live to the MUX. This is where the multiplexing is done. They get the PSIP, they get the warrant system, and out to the transmitter where they have ATSC 1.0 output. So something that I want to emphasize on, and that was quite exciting for us and for them as well, is these new capabilities of monitoring. So there is a lot of information on that slide, and I will guide you through it step by step. So the idea was to enable them to have quality of service at the tower, also to give the people that are, because their towers are all across the state, so they wanted to give information to the people maintaining the tower sites, information about the quality of the feed coming in and also the off-air, as well as feeding them the same type of information. And also do quality of experience, which they were not doing at the time. So the idea here, so it goes with two devices. One is called the edge probe. It's a one rack unit that got the RF signal in and the ASI signal in. So it will give you the spectrum, the constellation. Well, ATSC 1, it's fairly standard, but all the ETR 101 290, so you know that everything is proper, all your PIDs are here, you can monitor the bitrate. So if you have any issue, it sends you an email or a text directly. So the input of that are the input of the exciter, the off-air, and the same device does ATSC1 and ATSC3 as well. And it also decode the RF and push back the TS towards the station. So now they have a transport stream of the off-air quality fed back to the station, and with that they will be using another software device that we call here the stream probe that will do all the quality of experience monitoring. So I can do live video playback and can make sure that I don't have a silence on the left of my audio or the right. I don't have any mutes. I don't have any freezes, macro blocking. It also verify the quality of the content insertion. Let's say you do insertion of program insertion at the tower site because you want to insert a specific program for this area. Or, well, we don't talk about ads insertion for PBS, but any type of content, regardless of the duration, then you want to make sure that this insertion has been done properly. And this is one device that can make sure that this insertion is clean. And so they can monitor with that at the station, the encoder, at different steps of the encoder, before the multiplexer, after the multiplexer, and also what's coming from all of their station. So now with just a few pieces of equipment, they are able to make sure that at any given point of their distribution, they have quality of service, so all the pipes are clean and good, and they have quality of experience, meaning the image and the sound is good as well. And in order to simplify the usage of that, since they have several stations, so I displayed only three here, but they have more than that, we've designed a small, network management system or element management system, as you want to call it, that is gathering all of the information from each probe at each transmission site and to give you reports over time, to give you a nice map with all the location of the edge probe, to have a unified view of what's going on across the network. So by doing so, you give capabilities of monitoring to the guy at the site, and you also keep the hands on the monitoring that you want to do across the network. You set your own threshold, you define what you consider an issue or not. So I want to drill down a little bit in each of those three products. And as I explained, so this architecture here is the same in 1.0, 3.0. They don't have to change anything. The licenses are already there. We've gave them the training. Whenever they want to fire a 3.0 stick just for testing purposes, they can do it and then they can monitor it now. All right, so to give more detail about the RF monitoring part, so it's the picture that you see in the middle are different version of the same product that can get up to four RF monitoring simultaneously in one rack unit. So if you have different transmitter on the same antenna, or if you want to monitor at different points of your network, this is one of the most important things when you do monitoring. You want to monitor at different point of your network, so when an issue arises, you know where the issue is and where it originates from. So we have ETR 101 290 alarming, we do the multiplex analysis, so we see the bit rate, the tables, you can see if the PID is here, you can see the RF signal quality, and then we have a centralized view that can help you drill down very rapidly about what's happening on your network and report it back. So that's the reporting piece of software where you can create your own view. So let's say, okay, I want to compare the SNR on each towers over time, over the past of 20 minutes, 3 months, 2 years, and then I can generate all of those reports so I can feed back to the team. The goal is not to have someone looking at those devices. They are doing the monitoring for you. We don't need someone sitting at the table looking at screens to say, hey, something is not going well. No, the purpose is to have it feed back this information to you before you know it's an issue. So I know everybody has very reliable sources of monitoring that are in their home watching the television, but the idea is to have this information before they have it themselves. So That's why we have different types of reporting. Some, let's say, human-readable reporting like this, where you have PDFs, report, etc. But also for urgency, just a text message, an email, and you know right away where the issue happened, what was the issue, what was the threshold of that issue, etc. And then to move on the bigger part, which is the quality of experience, which was something new for them. So the way it's designed is that it's a software that can run at your station and that monitor at different points of the network. You can have a distributed architecture. So what you see here is what we call the mosaic, is just the overview of all of your services being displayed. And you see the audiograph, you see the if anything is on alarm, you can just click on it and it will drill down to the technical view. So for each service, each multiplex, each location, each probe, you will have the detail of, okay, what's going on, what's the load that I have on that network, what is the bitrate of each of my multiplex, is everything going okay? And then for each service within that multiplex, I will have the information. I will have the thumbnails. I'll be able to decode if I want to. But most importantly, I will have all the information about, is my PID coming at the right pace? Is my audio being processed as it should, etc. So with the same device, and this is more than what we've done for Iowa, but it's availability for the future, it's also capable of doing over the top. So let's say with ATSC3, you probably heard a lot about merging over the air and over the top, so broadcast and broadband content. And that's going to be a reality. You will be able to have content delivered via broadband, but signaled via broadcast. So if any of your viewers has a connected TV, just by zapping with the same signalization, it will be able to pick up a stream that they actually can't receive over the air, but they receive the signalization because it was robust enough to be picked up. And so we monitor also the availability of those segments that are stored in a server somewhere, and we also check the quality of experience of all of that. So yeah, that's what I'm mentioning, the added value of that software, being able to make sure that the audio is doing all right, the video is doing all right as well. Things that you won't be able to know if you just monitor the quality of service. Of course, recording, the purpose of that is to be able to feed you back all the information that you might need in order to troubleshoot what's going on. And in order to do so, we have some recording capabilities within the device that you can access, you can download, you can share with time marker for each of the errors that were discovered during that time. Ad insertion or program insertion quality. So we monitor different things. Usually to do ad insertion or any type of insertion, you use the SCOTY 35 protocol. So we can monitor the health of those marker. Are they pointing to the right image? Otherwise, if you do an insertion on the wrong image, you will end up most probably with macro blocks. Is the duration of the availability the same as the spot that you want to insert? Otherwise, yeah, well, you will have a hard cut and that will be disgusting. So all of those capabilities are embedded. So we monitor the health of the marker. And also, once the insertion is done, we monitor that the insertion has been done properly. That's why it's very important to, let's say, divide and conquer. So you want to monitor your network at very different, the more points that you want, the more the better. And of course, all of that is manageable via SNMP APIs. So the idea is for those systems, regardless of this one or the other, to be easily integrated in your own system at the time. All right, so that was mostly on the monitoring part, the encoding part, just to give you an idea of the architecture. Those, the two things that I've presented, is the exact same for ATSC1 and ATSC3, so they won't have to change anything. And of course, in HSC3, there is different brick that you need to add to your system, different layers, in order to make the most of HSC3. And I know that's the big question at the moment. What is the most in HSC3? What is the killer application? How do I generate revenue from that? Those are open questions. It's not my responsibility to answer those questions. It's more about your market. The only thing that we need to make sure is that you can do it using our gear, and that we are pretty confident on that. But I still wanted to highlight some of the basic advantages of HSC 3.0 that makes sense for Iowa, for example. So, because the physical layer is totally different, you will be increasing your coverage, and I say, or your throughput, because that's how it works. It's always a trade-off. If you have a very good robustness, meaning your coverage area will be wider, but the throughput will be a little bit less. Of course, if you compare to ATSC1 right away, for, let's say, the same coverage area, you will be averaging around 21, 22 megabits. So without doing anything, without changing, or without trying to optimize the ATSC 3.0, you're already winning some bitrate. Enable higher channel usage efficiency. So that is because now we are not stuck with only one modulation, 8 VASB 1939. Now we can go along that channel limits and just be able to achieve different use cases. And for that, you will be able to use your channel more efficiently. The good example that I've mentioned to the guy at Iowa, they have a radio service. The radio service is less than 200 kilobytes per second, so it really is nothing. So with 3.0, what they will be able to do, put that on a dedicated PLP with its own modulation, and they will be able to cover a way bigger area than what they used to cover before. So without changing anything, just adapting, let's say I have something that can be super robust because it's so light, then I can just distribute it way further away than what I was able to do before in ATSC 1.0. So that's a straightforward example of something that needs to be done and can be done, because it's just free households that you are reaching that you were not able to reach before. And then open new use cases. So that's the big part of ATSC 3. There is plenty of different players that are trying to test different use cases. I was talking earlier about the merge of over-the-air and over-the-top content. We hear a lot about datacasting capabilities. So don't get me wrong, I don't say that none of that was doable in ATSC 1. Many things were possible in ATSC 1. SFN was even possible in ATSC 1. There is SFN cells in ATSC 1. But the 3.0 standard made it more simple to manage and with a better efficiency. So we've been hearing a lot about data casting for different reasons, for education purposes. Let's to hand over the distribution of education material from the teacher to their students. For PBS, something that is very interesting that they haven't yet put in place, but that will be a very good marketing piece, is to have a better emergency alert coverage, because their mission, as every broadcaster, but especially I would say for PBS, is to serve the people and to be a public service. And by having an enhanced emergency alert system where you will have an alert, but you also have, based on your location, based on where you receive the signal from, you will have a map to go to the closest shelter or to have more interactive information. So all of those features that are embedded in ATSC 3 will make them scale and will enable them to achieve new use cases, hopefully generate new, or to try to get new, more traction from the political sides of things for the PBS mostly. And And so that's the beginning of the journey that we've started with them. They have not yet transitioned all of their system. They are on the testing phase, but just because they had to be ready for 3.0, they made that choice, and now they can rely only on themselves and their team. So we have been working with them, we have been training them. It's doing fine. And whenever they want to start and do the tests of 3.0, now they are ready and they don't need to go through another bid and another set of purchases, etc. All right, so that's the end of my morning story. I kept it short and sweet for you guys. I hope I didn't speak too fast. I know this is a wide topic, so please feel free to shoot your questions. I don't know if anyone used the texts app that was delivered. I don't have any feedback on that. So please feel free if you have any question about this project or any other. I'll be more than happy to answer you guys.
Where do you recommend putting the edge probe? If you like have fiber your transmitter site, put it right before your transmitter, or keep it back at the studio before the fiber?
So the biggest advantage of that device is the RF monitoring. So it makes sense to be located at the transmitter. You want one at the transmitter just to monitor what's coming into your exciter, out of your exciter, and off air. But then you have the off air at the tower site. So you might want to have one at your studio as well with an antenna, so you have the off air more on a reception equivalent than on the emission. So you won't monitor the same thing. At the emission, you will have certain threshold. For example, you want your shoulder to be super sharp. You don't want anything, you know, going away. So we have specific type of trigger for that. But when you are on the reception, it makes less sense. So you want to toggle off those alarms. And that's the type of adaptability that there is in this product. You choose what to monitor and you choose what's relevant based on the location you're monitoring.
Okay, cool. Okay, so you have different flavors like RF off air and ASI.
Yeah, okay. But it's in the box is the same, the license is the same. It's just there is different types of inputs, and based on the type of input that you use, we feed back different types of information. That's it.
I know it's early in the day, and I came here to learn a lot about 3.0. What on the consumer side are they going to see different? I'm kind of envisioning it's a more efficient encoding scheme, but what does the consumer get going from 1.0 to 3.0? And is there any issues with the current sets that are out there? I mean, is this... What does the consumer get from us going from 1.0 to 3.0? Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That's a good question. That's the big question. First, I don't say there is any issue with 1.0 as is. The idea is just to be able to thrive on the, as you say, the new codecs. If I take the example of South Korea that made this transition to 3.0 earlier than the US, the big driving force was 4K. For them, it was just 4K over the year, and that's it. And the viewers were very satisfied with that change, and that was the driving force. The question is how you market it. So it's very specific to your, it's not government driven here. It's just the market transitioning step by step. I guess you need to make sure about what it adds to your market. The example of Iowa, the fact that their radio service now can reach way further than before is one good advantage. The other one, as you say, with the same, let's say you keep the same configuration, we keep things simple, well, you will have a better image quality because you make use of better codecs. So those are the minute differences that ATSC3 brings. Enhance audio and all of those things, but it depends on what you implement. I haven't talked about the application size of things, but the TV being connected, or at least that's the expectations are that more and more people will connect their television, which I guess is okay to assume now. Everybody wants their Netflix and their subscription system on their television. So by doing so, you will be able to have that feedback that you never had in ATSC1, or unless they were calling you, you know. But otherwise, you will be able to push information directly to their TV sets. Let's say application-based, where you will be able to do audience measurements on top of what Nielsen is providing you. You will be able to deliver information, let's say, more interactivity between your devices. I already registered on my broadcaster application. I turn on the television and they say, hey, you saved that VOD show that you wanted to watch later. Do you want to watch it now? So that's type of things that can be added. And but it's really not me that can answer that. I'm the enabler. So the company's job is to make sure that what you're going to do is ATSC 3.0 compatible. And then each market has to find what's the real killer application and what's how to marketize it to your folks. And you're right, that's very important, because they will need to buy a new set. But most important, I'm not really concerned about buying new sets. I mean, we see how many ATSC 3.0 ready sets have been sold. It's huge. But it needs to be connected to an antenna. So there is definitely some advertisement or some marketing to make around that, to say, hey, we are transitioning. This is how you put an antenna on your roof. This is how you go back to over the air. And this is how you make the most of it. So yeah. Do we have any other questions?
Yeah. Good morning.
Morning.
Actually, this is more of a content-related thing, and so that's probably further down the road than you're thinking, but the way this particular app that works in Madison and Dane County works, it's a, when you mentioned notifying the public in an emergency where shelters are, there's an app that works in this area and other cities around the country, not all of them, that is called Pulse Point. And if you did check it out in this area, some of the functionality of it might be something that would relate to what you were saying of notifying the public. So something that maybe how it functions might work for your looking into applications in 3.0. Well, this tells you where the AEDs are. If you're trained in CPR, it can notify you. Well, it notifies you of all the fires, car accidents, things like that in the area. It's not like a scanner. So that might be something you might want to check out and just see how it works and see if it's something that might help you with your project.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You bet.
Yeah, that's the an ongoing topic about the in 3.0, the emergency alert, the way it was done in ATSC1. Everybody has his DASDEC box feeding those alert to your system. The idea in 3.0 is to be able to merge media to that actual just table alert. So that's where the industry is at now, testing those, trying to find new solution to merge content that is specific to your location, correlated to alerts. So yeah, I will look into that. Thank you. That's it. That's it for this morning. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. I leave you a little bit early, so you have some time to go grab a coffee and another round of delicious breakfast before the other speaker comes into the stage. Thank you, guys.